بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, and friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. So last week we began our study of Surah An-Nas, the last surah of the Quran. So we started with the first, Surah Al-Fatiha. Then we came to the... So the purpose of this series is to look at and understand and reflect upon the short surahs of the Quran, which we commonly recite. So many of us have learned them since we were very young, but perhaps did not get the opportunity to really reflect and try to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us and what the lessons are from the surah. So that's why we started with Fatiha. Now we go to Nas, and then we'll go backwards, inshallah. So last week we reached the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, or rather instructs us to ask in Surah An-Nas, to seek His protection. And we got to the point where we actually get to what we are to seek protection from. And so the surah starts off with the instruction to seek Allah's protection with different qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. So all three of these are Rabb and Malik and Ilah, are all referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we get to what we're actually seeking protection from. مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. Right. So we're seeking protection from the evil, shar, evil, the evil of al-waswas al-khannas, right? So the one who is the whisperer, who is sneaky or who retreats. And some of the commentators have mentioned that the quality of this sneaky whisperer is that he is always sneaky, right? He is always withdrawing and retreating, regardless of how you deal with him, okay? So he gives us evil ideas, and whether you obey him or whether you reject him and listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead, in both cases he is retreating and he's withdrawing and he's coming back. So if you obey him, his approach is that if someone obey his evil command or this evil ideas that he gives, he doesn't stand around or stick around and then tell you who he is, and spend time with you, and then take responsibility for what you have done, right? Regardless of how you treat him, he always retreats. Okay, so his job is to give you the idea, to give us the idea, and then to back off. To the extent that, on the day of judgment, that's what he's going to do as well, right? So he gives us these ideas, but after the decision has been made on the day of judgment, what is he going to say? وقال الشيطان لما قضي الأمر إن الله وعدكم وعد الحق ووعدتكم فأخلفتكم. Right? He will say on the day of judgment, after the decision has been made, that Allah made promises, and Allah's promises were true. I also made promises, but I went against my promises. وما كان لي عليكم من سلطان إلا أن دعوتكم فاستجبتم لي. Right? So I didn't have any control over you. I wasn't responsible for you. I didn't have any authority over you, except that I invited you, and you responded to my invitation. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Right? So now don't curse me out. Don't try to blame me now. Blame yourselves. Right? Blame yourselves. So this is his characteristic, that he'll try to get you into it, but when you get into trouble, and we see this in human beings as well, right? It happens with adults, happens with children. Right? You have a friend who incites you, it says, okay, why don't you go do this? Why don't you go do that? Why don't you go steal something? Or let's go, do this mischief and do that mischief. So he tries to get you into mischief, except when it comes, when you get into trouble and you get caught, then he's nowhere to be found. Right? He's not going to say, oh yes, I'm the one. Yes, teacher. Okay, yes, the police. Yes, I'm the one who told this person, yes, that you should go and do this. No, but when you get into trouble, then he's far away. Right? So he's retreating. So if you listen to him, this is what he does. And if you listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead, so you don't listen to what he is saying, instead you listen to Allah's command, then again he moves away, right? Because that is one thing that he's afraid of, right? And that is the remembrance of Allah and adherence to Allah's command. Right? So if he knows that someone is remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, and he knows that someone is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering him, then he'll go far away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that, you know, when the adhan is called, right? This is interesting, right? So when the adhan is called, Iblis takes off. And he takes off. And he goes far away, so he doesn't hear the sound of the adhan. When the adhan is completed, then he returns. He comes back and he says, okay, now how can I cause some mischief, you know, with these people? They're going to worship Allah, right? So how can I? So when the remembrance of Allah is called out, the adhan is called out, he takes off. And then he comes back. Then the iqamah is called, and again, he takes off. Right? Because it's the remembrance of Allah, it's the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So he takes off. He doesn't want to hear it. Qama is done, he comes back. And now he tries to whisper into the heart of the person to try to, you know, of the worshipper, to try to distract them from the salah. And the Prophet ﷺ says, and he makes him remember things which he does not recall to his mind before the prayer. Okay? He makes him, right? Isn't this true? Right? So he makes him remember things which he does not recall to his mind before the prayer. So you start the salah, you say Allahu Akbar, and you start offering the salah. And now all these thoughts coming to mind. You know, all the things you were trying to remember beforehand and you were having difficulty remembering. All these new ideas, subhanAllah, you know. How to deal with this situation, how to deal with that. And not just any idea, but just very, you know, very, very innovative, very solid ideas, right? So he encourages that. And that causes him to forget how much he has prayed. Okay, so you're in the second rak'ah, you're in the third rak'ah. You know, in the first rak'ah, you're good. Right? Okay, you just started, so you remember. Second rak'ah, you know, it depends on your level of your khushu and your salah. By the time it comes to the third or the fourth, right, by then, for many of us, it's all mumbo-jumbo, right? It's like, okay, I did two, three, okay, maybe four. That's the hardest one to remember, third and the fourth, right? Because by then, his influence is getting stronger and stronger and stronger, right? And subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ describes this, right? And this is something that happens to so many of us, right? So this indicates to us that this is, some of the scholars have said, that this is what is meant by the retreating and the withdrawing. Right? He comes and he goes. Right? He comes and he goes. He comes and he goes, finding any opportunity to attack. And we talked about this last week as well, that the best solution to this is the remembrance of Allah. Now it's interesting that you see, if this is happening in salah, right? If this is happening in salah, then what does that tell us about our salah? Right? What does that tell us about our salah? So our hearts need to be in the salah. Right? Our hearts need to be in the salah, in the prayer, and they need to be connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And depending on how much, how pure our hearts are, that will affect how much we're able to concentrate. Right? So if our hearts are filled with filth, right, if we've been exposing them to all types of you know, filth and dirty things and things which distract from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's going to be hard to concentrate in salah, and this sneaky withdrawing, retreating whisper will be able to attack us. Now, if our hearts are pure and our hearts have been filled with good thoughts and the remembrance of Allah even before salah, then it will become easier, inshallah, to concentrate. But nonetheless, this is an opportunity that he tries to take, right, to try to distract us. Because the times when we are getting closest to Allah are the times that he hates the most, that bother him the most. Right? So if somebody is already distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is far away, then that's not that much of a, that person is not that much of a risk, as opposed to someone who is actually standing in front of Allah, who is actually going into prostration and doing sujood in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something which he did not do and he regrets now. Right? So when a person recites the ayah of Sajdat al-Tilawa, of the prostration of recitation, Iblis goes far away. He goes far away crying that the son of Adam was commanded to prostrate and he did, whereas I was commanded and I did not. Right? So, and also one of the other things that the scholars have mentioned, there's another time when he pounces and we must ask Allah for help and protection, especially at that time, is when a person is close to death. Right? So when he's a servant of Allah, a pious worshipper of Allah, is close to his last moments, and the angel of death is approaching, and he's in that final phase, when his breath is about to be taken and is about to leave, that is the time when he also, apparently, he likes to attack. Right? Because now, if this person passes away, and he passes with Iman, then he's lost one more person. right? Then it's done. He can't. Then nothing can be done after that. So this is his last chance, right? And for even some of the people of, you know, of taqwa, knowledge, and our salaf who've been known, it's been recorded that, you know, that it, at that time, or when they felt they were close to death, but they actually weren't, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them experience this, that, you know, these were the times when the, because it's a state of confusion, right? It's a time of difficulty, and it's a time of confusion, and there's many things going on. If this is something that a person is experiencing, normally for the vast majority of people, that they've never experienced before, unless they've had like a, you know, near-death experience, or, you know, there might be some times, occasionally, very rarely, where someone gets close to death, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not willed it, and they, you know, they are saved from that moment. But otherwise, for most people, this is the first time that they're experiencing something like this. Right? So it's a time of confusion, a type of difficulty and pain. May Allah protect us. And you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself would seek protection, right? Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min sakaratil maut, ghamaratil maut. Right? So those times, you know, are very difficult times. And he, scholars have mentioned that that is one time that he pounces to try to take that person away. Nonetheless, what we learn is that he comes and goes, finding opportunities to come in, and then he goes away. So whether you obey him or reject him, or you listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the approach he's going to take, and he's going to constantly, you know, constantly going to keep trying. And thus, Allah azza wa jal tells us to seek protection from the evil of that sneaky or withdrawing whisperer. Now, yuwaswisu, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ. Now the next verse, so مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. Right, so waswasa yuwaswisu comes from the word waswasa, and this is referring to the waswasa, and we often use this term. So what exactly is it referring to? So it's referring to the ideas, imagination, fantasies that come to a person's heart and mind, which don't have any basis, right? Which are not true, or which are false, or the lead towards falsehood, right? So basically, these are ideas, imagination, fantasies, things that a person starts thinking about, perhaps even feeling, which are wrong, right? Which are not in a person's best interest, which are incorrect, which are based upon falsehood. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the characteristics of this sneaky, withdrawing whisperer, and he says that he is the one who yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas, who puts who whispers and gives these false thoughts, or these incorrect and evil thoughts. In now, the interesting thing here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says fi sudurin nas, right? So he says in the chests of people, right? In the chest, in the breast, in the heart, right? It doesn't talk about the mind, right? It doesn't say that these are evil ideas which are put into the minds of people or into the thoughts of people, but rather fi sudurin nas, right? So in the chest, in the heart, and this ties in with what we learn if you look at, you know, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talk about the heart, that, you know, that it is in fact the chest, the heart, which is the seat of the emotions. Right? Whenever we say that we are feeling something, right, we don't associate that with our minds. We associate that with our hearts. You know, my heart is broken, or my heart, you know, pains. Right. So we anything that has to do with emotions and feelings, we associate, even in our common terminology, with the heart. We don't associate it with the mind. It has to do with the heart, because the heart is the seat of the emotions, where the emotions originate from. Now, of course, this may not be the physical heart that we that, you know, is being referred to here, but it's a spiritual heart. But nonetheless, the scholars say that the spiritual heart has some connection with the physical heart, except we may not know exactly what type of connection that is, or what the actual form of that connection is, because this is something which has to do with the soul, and has to do with the nafs and the ruh, and the knowledge of these things are not as clear, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, yasalunaka an ar-ruh, that, you know, you're asked, the people ask you, they're asking you about the ruh, about the soul. قُلَ الْرُوحَ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Right, so say that this ruh and this soul has to do, is a matter of my Lord, and I've been given only but a little bit of knowledge regarding that. Right, so a lot of these things are related to to the ruh and the soul, which we cannot see, and the knowledge that we have been given regarding that is limited. But nonetheless, when it comes to the heart, there are certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have told us. And when when the scholars look at them collectively, all of these teachings and these sayings, then there's certain things that we learn from those. So these ideas, these evil inclinations, they go towards the chest, towards the heart. And we also learn that the feelings and the emotions are what drive a person. What drive a person towards doing something. Right? So the intellect is there, the mind is there. But many times, the emotions are able to overrule the intellect. Right? So maybe there's an idea that comes into the mind. You hear something, you come across an idea. Right? But if you're going to carry it out, it has to do with your heart, with your feelings. If you actually feel like doing it, if you feel like carrying it out, then it's going to become easier or difficult based on your feelings. Right? Many times, we know people commit crimes, they do things, they say things, which intellectually, if they had thought about it, they would not have done it. Because the consequences would be very bad. Or because it just would not make any sense. But nonetheless, they end up doing it. Why? Because their emotions were able to overstep or overrule their intellect. So this tells us that it is in fact the heart and the chest which really needs to be protected. Right? Everything else needs to be protected as well. But at the end of the day, right, the heart of the matter lies where? In the heart. Right? So the essential element is found where? In the heart, and that is what needs to be protected. Because these evil inclinations and these evil ideas go where? They go to the chest. They go to the heart. And we know, as we just discussed, that this enemy, Shaitan, if you like to call him, or Iblis, or those who make up his group, and we'll talk about that a bit later on, they run away from dhikr, right? They run away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the goal then, because if it all has to do with the heart, the goal then is to do the dhikr, do the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the heart. That is the goal. The goal is to engage the heart in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So yes, we use our tongue, and Allah has obviously very clearly prescribed that we are to use our tongue, and we are to do actions as well, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are definitely a part of it, but they are all a means to achieving the ultimate, which is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the heart. Right? So the heart needs to be engaged. Right? We see that Allah tells us, for example, that inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That really the prayer, al salah, you know, it acts as a barrier. It stops a person from indecent acts, from committing, you know, committing sins, committing, you know, things which are bad, which are negative, and committing indecency. Right? The prayer is supposed to protect from that. But if we are offering the prayer, we are offering salah, but it's not protecting us from that, then something is, you know, something's amiss. Right? And obviously the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah has told us is true, right? There's no wa'ad Allahi haqqan, right? Like, so whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised is true, and that can't be wrong. So if something is appearing to be amiss, then that means that there's something lacking on our end. So it is our salah, for example, that is not a true salah, right? Maybe it's fulfilling the technicalities and fulfilling the technical obligation, but in terms of actual substance, it's lacking something, right? And perhaps it is that the heart is not engaged, right? The heart is not engaged because the heart is filled with many other types of evils and a lot of filth, and therefore the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes very difficult for it, and therefore, when it comes to the salah, it's not achieving at least one of the purposes or one of the outcomes that should be achieved because of our salah. So what I'm saying is that the tongue, what we say with our tongue and the dhikr that we do with our tongue, whether it's in salah or the recitation of Qur'an or any other form of adhkar, is important, and that's good. The actions, the physical movements, everything else that we do also needs to be done. So whether it's the fasting or going for hajj or, you know, spending and sadaqah and so on. So the actions are definitely a part of it. But at the end of the day, it should be affecting the heart. And if the heart is protected, right, is surrounded with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is filled with the love of Allah, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is filled or surrounded with the dhikr and remembrance of Allah, then, you know, these evil inclinations and these evil advances can be stopped to a certain extent. But still, we need Allah's help. Right? And that's why we're told, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Right? So we try our best, and we try to protect our chests, we try to protect our hearts, but at the end of the day, we of course need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah tells us that مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ أَلَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, in the chests, the hearts, the breasts of people, مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ, from the jinn and the human beings. So, you know, if you read most translations, it will be translated as, you know, as if you are seeking Allah's protection from the sneaky, withdrawing whisperer who gives people evil ideas, and that he can be from the human beings and from the jinns. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. So مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ is going back to الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ. Right? So the one who does this act is from the human beings and is from the jinns. So that's how it's commonly understood. But actually the commentators of the Qur'an and Mufassirun have two understandings of this. Right? Two approaches to this. So the first approach is that the one who is whispering, so shaitan who whispers in the chests of people, belongs to the human race or the race of jinn, as I mentioned. But the Shaitan whispers in the chests of people belonging to the human race or the race of jinn. Okay, so the understanding then is that the annas alladhi yuwaswisu fi suduri annas, right, the people that are mentioned there are actually general, encompassing both the jinns and the human beings. Okay, so what he is not described as to who exactly he is, except that he is a sneaky whisperer, and he affects with his evil ideas both the jinns and the human beings. So that is one understanding, and that is backed up by the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sometimes referred to the jinns as men, for example. He has referred to, in the Qur'an, has referred to jinns as men. بِرِجَالٍ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. Right? He mentions that. So the men from among the jinns. So the scholars say that النَّاس, that is being الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاس, in the chest of النَّاس, can actually refer to النَّاس from actual human beings or النَّاس from jinns. That's one understanding. The second understanding is that the characteristic of the sneaky whisperer, this withdrawing whisperer, is that he is from the human beings and is from the jinns. So from that we learn then that there can be shayateen that who are actually from the human beings. Shayateen from the human beings. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ. That, and so we appointed for every prophet and enemy devils from among mankind and from among the jinn. Okay, and Abu Dharr Ghafari radiallahu anhu reported that once he went to the masjid and he sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Did you pray?" And he said, "He says that when I said no, he said offer your prayer, qum fasalli." So he said, "Faqumtu fasallaytu." So I stood up and I prayed. ثم جلست فقال, then I sat down and he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Dharr, seek refuge against the devils from among the men and the jinn. Ya Abu Dharr, ta'awwadh billahi min sharri shayatin al-insi wal-jinn. So he says that قلت يا رسول الله, that I said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wal-insi shayatin, that, you know, are there devils among men also, among human beings? Because he said, تَعَوَّذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَرِّ شَيَاطِينِ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ. Right? Seek Allah's protection from, seek refuge against the devils from among, from the evil of the devils from among the men and from the human beings and the jinn. So the Prophet ﷺ said, نَعَمْ. He said, yes. So there are, that means, شَيَاطِينَ, which are from the jinns, and which could be from the human beings as well. So, you know, we know that shaitan, generally, in other words, shaitan is used in different ways in the Quran, right? And in the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right, so if it's referring to a shaitan, right? So if it's referring to specifically the shaitan, then most likely it's referring to Iblis. Okay? Though when it's referring to shayateen, this could be general to devils from the jinns and the human beings, because Iblis himself was a jinn. Right? And so on is called, actually there's some discussion around that as well, because you know he used to hang around the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. And then when we said to the angels to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, فَسَجَدُوا, they prostrated except Iblis. So some people have then said that, okay, this means that he was an angel, right? Because if the angels were commanded and they all prostrated except him, then that means that he's an angel, right? But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. Right? وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ verse in Surah Al-Kahf, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. Right? So he was from the jinn who went against, who disobeyed the command of his Lord. Right? So from that we learn that Iblis was actually a jinn, which are made from fire. Right? And he was at such a high elevated status of knowledge that he used to hang around in the company of the angels. Right? Because in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have the angels who are made out of light, right, from nur, and they don't have any free will. Okay, they have no free will. They do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them to do. Okay, so Allah tells them to do something, and they do it. And that's how they are. Then from among those who have free will, we have the human beings and the jinn. So the jinn are those who have been created by fire. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them with fire. And the human beings, of course, are created with clay, right, with dirt. So Iblis in particular is the name of the head honcho of the shayateen. Right? So he's the one who went through this and he didn't listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he promised that he would go out and try to get people to follow him instead of following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the story. So he has an army which consists of other jinns, who have, you know, taken their oath, who have given oath to him, who follow him. And then they also have human beings. So there are also human beings who, even though they're not jinns, they're not necessarily possessed by jinns, even because jinns have Allah has given them the ability to do that as well to human beings at times. So they're not necessarily, these human beings are not necessarily possessed by the jinns, yet they have followed the teachings of Iblis and his army, so much that they've basically become one of them. Okay, they have become one of them. And now what they are basically doing is they are completely ignorant of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are just his followers, and they are propagating whatever he wishes to propagate and whatever he commands them to do. This may be a smaller group, what I'm referring to now, but there's actually a group of people who actually have, who claim to be part of the church of Satan. The church of Shaitan. Okay, essentially, if you look it up, you'll find the church of Satan. And there's people who actually claim to be a part of that group. Right? So this doesn't mean that this ayah is necessarily just referring to them in particular. But I'm just mentioning that as an example. That there are even people who openly profess to be followers of Shaitan. Okay, so there are people like that as well in the world right now. Okay, but nonetheless, there can be human shayateen as well. So people who are giving, inviting people. So Hezbollah and Hezbollah Shaitan, right? So the army, the people who follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they invite towards Allah, and they try to propagate the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The opposite of that, you have those who are propagating evil, who are propagating, essentially, even if they're not saying it directly, but they're propagating the teachings or of what basically what Shaitan wants. And of course, their company can affect us. Okay, so if we happen to have someone who is heavily influenced by shaitan, or who has gone to the point where that person is following shaitan in his ways and his teachings, then they can also have influence as well upon us. But now the the two types of shayateen then, so the shaytan or the shayateen from the jinn and the shayateen from the human beings will have different types of approaches, right? So the shaytan who is part of the jinn group, we can't see them, right? Most chances are, most of the time, you're not going to see them, even though they can come in different forms, but we're not going to see them most of the time. And they're going to give us ideas without us being able to know exactly who it's coming from, and in different subliminal ways. Right, so these are the waswas, the thoughts that come to our minds, and you know, they are creating doubts in our mind about our beliefs, or are enticing us to go towards evil. The shayateen, who are going to be from the human beings, will likely not have that ability. Right, so then they will be actually giving us ideas. They will be trying to influence us in a more direct way. And it was actually mentioned in one of the books of Tafsir that the you know, shaytan al ins ashaddu ala al nasi min shaytan al jinn, right? That the shaytan of the human beings is actually, you know, harder, more difficult to deal with, or, you know, worse for the human beings than the shayateen of the jinn. Right? The reason for that is the shayateen from the jinn, they give us ideas, they give us, you know, waswas, and we are not able to actually see them. Okay, so the thoughts come and it's not very visible where it's coming from, and, you know, they come in our minds and so on. But on the other hand, the ones who are from the human beings, we can actually see them. Right? We can actually see them, we can see them as actual people, practically doing things. And when someone does something practically in front of you and shows you the way, then that is clear, as opposed to just a thought that comes in your mind. Right? So this then takes us back to the discussion about our company, right? The people that we surround ourselves with, right? And this is very, very important, because whatever we have in our surroundings has great potential to affect us. So whether it's friends or other company, and a lot of times we underestimate the influence of online company. Right? Online company. So it's interesting, you know, everyone, many of us are on Facebook or on Twitter, and everyone has a different feed coming up based on who we've following, who we've befriended, and whatever they're posting is affecting us in one way or the other, even if we don't realize it, right? So what we should be doing is trying to cut away and shield ourselves from all types of shaitanic, all types of devilish influences, right? All types of evil influences. So, and even if it is, you know, even if it's online and we think that it's something very benign and we don't realize it, but, you know, it's going to have an effect on us. You know, nowadays, if you click on one thing, you search for one thing, right, what happens? So let's say you're looking to buy a house, okay, and you search for houses in Canada North. What happens? You get your results, but then next thing you'll notice, you go on YouTube, you're seeing ads about realtors. You go on another website, you're seeing ads. You open your email, you're seeing ads. And all they all have to do with houses now, all of a sudden, right? So you see the effect, right? You pay attention to something once, a little bit, and it starts affecting you in different ways, right? So this is a good example, a similitude of how these things affect us as well, right? So you have an interest in one, you know, shaitanic thought, one devilish thought, and then he sees an opportunity. He says, okay, this is a person, this is his weak point, right? This is where his vulnerability lies, right? So this is an in to get inside it, to set up shop, right? To install the malware, and then he's going to start thinking, you know, in that way, right? So to recap, right, human beings, we are vulnerable to threats, right? And the most severest of threats is the threat that affects us in the hereafter, right? So again, and we mentioned this last week, you look at the Qur'an, we start with Surah Al-Fatiha, we ask for guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azza wa jal gives us all types of hidayat, right, in the Qur'an, and in the end, right, when we get to Surah Al-Nas, what is he warning us about? Right. What is he telling us? He's telling us that we are vulnerable, we are weak, we know that from other teachings in the Quran and the verses, but we are especially susceptible to these attacks and these thoughts. Right. So seek Allah's protection. Because you can have all the hidayah, all the guidance that you want, right, or that you think you can follow, but at the end, if you're going to fall for these whisperings, they have the potential to have a severe effect on you. Why? Because it affects your hereafter. Right. A person has a thought that comes to their mind, an evil thought creates doubts about their beliefs, you know, creates, you know, gets them to go towards haram, go towards, you know, things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. And if they don't restrict that, if they don't try to contain that, then it snowballs. Right? It snowballs. Just like a snowball is made, right? You take a little bit of snow, you start rolling, and it starts getting bigger and bigger, right? To the point where it becomes too large to handle. Right? So in the same way, all the guidance, all the hidayah, all the guidance is there, but if you're not going to be careful about this threat, then you have the potential, the risk of having a very severe negative effect, right? So it affects the hereafter, so be very careful about that. It's sneaky, it's retreating, right? He's not going to come up to you openly, right? So be very careful, right? Be on guard. Right? He promised that I'm going to come from all directions, from the front, from the back, from the right, and the left. Right? So be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of what you're getting yourself into. Be aware of these thoughts and ideas that are coming to your mind. It could be a jinn, it could be a human being as well. Okay, so be careful about your company, your surroundings, and it's going to go to the heart. Right? All of these things that go affect the heart, so work on protecting the heart. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the end of the day, remember Him and realize that we need His protection in every single way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May He protect our hearts. May He protect our minds. May He protect our children and our families. And may He protect all the believers and indeed all the human beings. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.